Isn't it good? My, my. Good to see everybody. God bless you. It's so good to see you, buddy. Take your life right now, what you're going through, all the trials, all the hardships, whatever it is, and then take Christ out of it. You wouldn't be here, neither would I. He's everything, folks. Because you know what? You have those same trials without him. But you just don't have any Christ to go to. You talk about miserable. It's good to be here, isn't it? Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that we can come this morning knowing that you're here, Lord, to meet our needs. And Lord, you might not bring it the way we want it. You might not do things the way we prefer, but Lord, you're going to meet our needs. And you always do it the right way. So Lord, we're here, humbled ourselves, soberly in our right minds, Lord, to accept your healing, your deliverance, your love, whatever we have need of. And Lord, you're chastening. Because we know that when we're chastened of you, it proves that you love us. Sometimes the chastening is hard. But Lord, we've learned that it's because you love us. You love us, and Lord, we're willing to accept it. So now this morning, however you would come and minister to each one, we ask you to do it, Lord. We welcome you here, Lord. We want to see Christ. I ask you to do this, Lord, in your own name. It's according to your word. It's according to your will. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles, we're going to read a couple different places. We're going to, first of all, go to 1 Peter 4. Yes, sir. 1 Peter 4. And we're going to start at verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God. And skip down to verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. That word sober means to exercise self-control, to hold a moderate estimation of your own worth, and to curb your passions. Remember what we said for you, those of you who heard Thursday, Brother Brandon said, you need to separate between your faith and your feelings. Curb your passions. Control your emotions. Decide who you're going to serve, God through faith or yourself through your emotions and your feelings. We also said this Thursday. Brother Branham said, you yield your faith either to Satan or to God. You all have a gift of faith. Every human being on earth is given a gift of faith when they come on earth. And you are going to yield that faith either to Satan to believe him or to God to believe him. You say, well, if I'm a child of God, I would never yield my faith to Satan. Every time you get down in despair or hateful or anything that's not God-like, you're yielding your faith to Satan to believe what he's telling you, that you need to do this or you need to handle it your way or whatever it is you're doing. You're yielding your faith to Satan. Verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Above all else, he says, this is the end of all things. The end time is here, he said. In the end time, above all else, you need to have charity. You need to have love among yourselves. That is not human love. That is not, well, I really like you, I really love you. No, it's God's love. You must have it. Jesus said, by this will all men know my disciples, when you have love one for another. And brother and sister, we have a small group here, and if anything at all, that this group should be characterize it should be our love. And if we are the bride of Christ, it will be. And if you're yielding your faith to God, you'll see it manifest through the love that you have for each other. Because love is what brings faith on the battlefield. Turn to Timothy, 2 Timothy. This isn't what I'm preaching about today, so that's just, for those of you who missed Thursday night, I'm trying to catch you up. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You may be seated. Thursday night we spoke on the thought of a time to be fearless, and we looked at the subject of time of religious persecution. We show that when the Gentile age come in, it came in with the worship of a holy man, and it goes out with the worship of a holy man. But the thing we focus on is, remember, back in Babylon, when they had to worship that image of Daniel, their prophet, it was a forcing of religion. They had either, you will worship this idol of Daniel, your prophet, or you will be killed. And the Gentile age goes out the same way. Either you will worship the image of a holy man, or you will die. You will be persecuted. It might not be a physical killing this time around, but brother and sister, it's going to come to that. You will, that's that same thing's going to play out, and we saw that as playing out right now as people are worshiping Brother Branham. But see, the difference is back then there was an idol you could look at then and say, you either fall down physically and worship that idol, and it is easy to say, well, I'm not going to do that. Today, it's all in deception. Because most people who are worshiping Brother Branham would say, I don't worship Brother Branham. But they do. All right? So today we're going to pick up that again on this persecution, a religious persecution in our time, and see what it's going to look like and see what it is looking at like right now. So just to put everyone on the same page, let's read this out of the Church Age book. It says, remember, it was imperial pagan Rome that fell by the sword, but she was healed of her death stroke when she joined in the nominal Christian Church of Rome, incorporated paganism, Christianity, thereby became the Holy Roman Empire, which was to endure until Jesus came and destroyed her. That's the age we're in, folks. But Rome is not going it alone. Her daughters are right with her, and she will take over absolute authority by the World Council of Churches. Absolute authority by the World Council of Churches. We can see that right at the door. We can see that happening. And it's still, it's being very deceptive about it, so people don't like totally just blow their heads, but it's happening. This may seem far-fetched to some, but actually it is very plain for all to see, because right now the churches are controlling politics, and at the opportune time will manifest exactly how great that control is. So brother and sister, we might still look around. We still have freedom of worship. We can still come to church, which just blows my mind when we see this is coming and you still let Satan talk you out of coming to church when you could be here. But that's up to you. But brother and sister, when we see this happening and they're controlling politics, and at the right time they're going to come in and they're going to put their thumb down, they say, now you're going to do it our way. This ecumenical move will end up with Rome as the head, even though the people don't envision it that way. That is so because in Revelation it states that the whore, Mr. Babylon, is seated on the beast. She is controlling that last or fourth empire. This Roman church is doing that. With the world church system under her, Rome will be controlling, and this image, the church system, will be obedient to Rome because Rome controls the gold of the world. Thus, all the people have to belong to the world church system or be at the mercy of the elements, for they cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast in the hand or the head. You all know that. You've heard that many times. Brother and sister, you just prepare for it. You say, Brother Phil, stop a minute. You're getting ahead of yourself. The bride does not go through the tribulation. Just hold on. You're right. The bride doesn't go through the tribulation, but let's look what he really says, okay? Because if you think you're going to get off scot-free and it's going to be easy, we're just going to go from here into the rapture, you better start thinking again. Because this is what he says. This mark in the head means that they will have to take the doctrine of the world church system, which is Trinitarianism, etc., and the mark in the hand, which means to do the will of the world church. With this great power, the church system will persecute the true bride. You know, Christianity is the most persecuted religion around the world, has been for years. We're still talking, people who claim Christianity in some churches in some parts of the world, they're being killed, they're being tortured, they're being burned to death, their women are being raped, they're cast out, they can't live anywhere, they can't own property, just because they're Christians. We have it good here, brother and sister. God's doing this for a purpose. He said, you folks in the United States, you're facing the worst persecution now there is. Well, no, we're not. Oh, yes, we are. Because what we're going through right here in the United States is harder. It's harder to be a Christian here than it is in some places where they're being killed. Because when you physically persecute the true church, the true bride, the true believers, it makes them stronger. History proves that. So the persecution here isn't there. It's coming. See, what Satan has done, he's down through the years, he's learned what makes a Christian stronger. He's found out that, you know what? The more I try to kill them, the stronger they get. Why? It's very simple. Because you pray more. You pray more. You seek God more when there's a need. But when we're under this pressure of soft living, who needs to pray? Ain't that amazing? So this persecution you and I are going through right now is harder than that because we think we're okay, because we think we're living a good life, because we think God's blessing us, and the whole time we're getting further and further away from God. And then we get pastors and preachers up in the pulpit who preach it so that you stay comfortable instead of calling out your sin and saying, your attitude stinks. What if we couldn't have church here? You show up next Sunday morning and the doors are locked. There's a sign on the door. This place has been taken over. The government, this is the property of the United States government, whatever. Where's Brother Jerry? We're going to have church in Brother Jim's garage. Get there and it's 30 degrees and find out he got his electricity turned off. Y'all gonna show up for church? If you had to walk 5 miles to get to church this morning, and knowing that if someone saw you, you'd be arrested, there'd be a different attitude in here by some of us, wouldn't there? We got it so easy, so soft. We don't need God. And then we wonder, why does God keep pouring these troubles in our life, these things we're going through, these trials, these tests? Why do I keep having these things? Because he's trying to say, you still need me. You still need me. Quit relying on all these other things Satan is heaping on you, the comforts of the world, so that I don't need to pray. I can, well, you know what, I'm having a bad week. I'll go to church and Brother Jerry's going to preach me happy. That's not the relationship God wants with you. He wants this personal relationship where it's just you and him. Amen. Who do you love most? So what Satan does is he weakens us. You know, we talk about those, the demons that, you know, that came out of the river Euphrates, like 200 million, I think. But you know, Brother Branham, he's talking about the fiery furnace is heated 7 times hotter for those children that got thrown in there than it was before. And that symbolizes, that speaks of the 7 church ages, of those demons from the first church age. Add to the demons of the second church age. Add to the demons of the third church age. And every age it gets hotter and Satan gets better and the persecution increases until this age has been heated 7 times hotter and your persecution is 7 times stronger than it was in the first. This is what you're facing. Plus all those 200 million demons coming out of River Euphrates that are being loosed on you. We're going to see it's not loosed on the church. It's unloosed on the bride. And what is it doing? What is it? It's in your mind, brother and sister. And your mind is right now so beleaguered. It is so stressed. It is so oppressed by these demons. And we don't even realize it because it's just used. We're just getting used to it. And yet every one of us has mental illnesses out just crazy. I don't have a mental illness. You're denying it proves you do. It's true. Look at the way, look at the thoughts you have. If you could compare your mind and what your mind is going through today to 200 years ago, people back there would say, you are literally insane. The things you think about, the thoughts you do, the things you do just because of the pressure on our minds. And our minds are weak. Brother Brandon said, the food we eat has weakened our brains. It's our facilities, our, you know, the things that you see on the street that are people that think are normal and moral. And if you look at that, you just poof. How did we get here? Because Satan, the pressure, pushing and pushing until the whole world is moving totally into insanity. Right. And we're influenced by it too, folks. We are all influenced by that. You better have it. Better have a relationship with Christ. Your religion won't save you from that. And then, not just your mind, but he's also making us physically weak. The food we eat, our sedentary lifestyle, all these things, brother and sister, it's weakening us down. And right now, we still don't have too much physical persecution against us. Let me read something. Brother Branham said this. He said, "O little flock, do not fear. This age is fast closing. As it does, those tares will be bound together, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. They will have a tremendous threefold strength, political, physical, and spiritual, which is satanical power. They will seek to destroy the bride of Christ." That means we're still here. "And they will seek to destroy the bride of Christ. She will suffer, but she will endure. Fear not those things that are coming upon the earth, for he who loved his own loveth them unto the end." So, brothers and sisters, there's a political, there's a physical, and there's a spiritual pressure coming against us. And right now, for us, that physical and that political ain't near as strong, although you can see that political rising up. Can you imagine what would be going on, how different it would be if Hillary would got elected president? So maybe it's just a little stay of grace. I don't know. Maybe Trump's going to turn out to be the worst thing you ever saw. Nobody knows what he's going to be like. But they're going to bind together and through those three things. And so what Satan is doing, brother and sister, right now is he's getting us so soft and so lackadaisical and so oppressed in our minds that all of a sudden he's going to turn around and hit us with those physical persecutions, and we're going to be like, poof. Just scattered because we have no strength if all you have is religion. Brother and sister, when you come to church and the Holy Spirit points out your life and exposes something and says, get this right, get this right, get this right, get this straightened up, change your attitude here, quit loving that more than you love me. Brother and sister, that's how you're building your strength, because this character is a victory. It's not a gift. You're not going to come at one time. Brother Jerry, pray for me for this. He might pray for you all the day long, but you have to go through that battle and win that character. It's something you overcome to get. It's not something you get right here in the altar. That's why you keep coming to church. That's why you keep giving your faith to Christ. That's why you keep to recognize this is faith, this is feelings. I will yield to faith instead of to feelings. It's building a strength, because brother and sister, if you don't have that strength of character, when the physical persecution comes, there is no way you'll be here. You will fall away. You think you're stronger than Satan? You think you can withstand his forces? He's had all these thousands of years to train for this moment. He's been training for this moment so he can get you, the bride of Christ, to fall away. He's going to prove to God. You know what he's going to prove? Oh, he doesn't have to prove that. Oh, I just couldn't do it. He's going to prove you love him more than you love Christ. Because what you'll do is you will protect yourself first. Willing to protect yourself rather than stand for Christ. Oh, we do it all the time now, folks. We do it all the time now. You know those things that those things that you keep struggling with? I'm going to use myself for an example. I have this problem when people say I'm ultra sensitive about certain things. I hate it when I feel I'm disrespected. And it just gets all over me. And I see this happen at work
all the time. And I've recognized over the years that God is having that person do that on purpose just to push my button, because he's saying, Phil, when are you going to grow up? Because you know what happens? If I keep reacting to it every time someone says something that I don't like, you know what it does? It poisons my mind. And the rest of the day, I'm sitting there struggling with that. I can't believe she said that. Why would she say that? Does she not like me? Don't she? Well, who does she think she ought to talk to me like that? You know what I'm doing? I'm protecting old Phil. Because it hurts. Sure, it hurts my feeling. But you know what I learned over the years? That thing comes up, I ask myself, I tell myself right away, it's not worth it. And if I don't tell myself right away, that gets into my mind and it'll poison my mind. And the next day I'm still thinking about it. And 2 days later I'm just ignoring her because we're friends. She didn't do it on purpose. She didn't even know what she was doing, but it still had that effect. And I look at that and I say, she did not try to say that. She did not try to hurt my feelings, but it did because I'm ultra sensitive. And God had her say it. Because it's time for me to quit protecting self and love her. Ooh. Love her after she hurt my feelings? You know what I found out I need to do? Immediately, I need to do something nice to her. Say something nice and talk and just totally ignore that thing, because otherwise it'll poison my mind. You know what else is great? When I yield myself to the Holy Spirit, I can do it. It's true. But what if she did it on purpose, trying to hurt your feelings on purpose? That even makes it worse. When I started working where I'm working now, there's a lady, she started working at the same time. We went through the same orientation class, and we were best friends for years. She is the funniest, happiest person ever. And one time after about 8 years of working there, nine maybe, I don't know, I was teaching a class, and she was in class, and I don't know what got into her. But she did something that publicly trying to humiliate me in front of the whole class. And then she got on Facebook and wrote about it. And I don't know what it was about. I don't know why she had this attitude. But that just hurt. And you know what I did? I copped an attitude towards her. And I just kept her like, I mean, I was not even hateful towards her, but like she came around, I just ignored her, just like, yeah, I'm done. And she came around several times, and she never like just brought it out and apologized, but she tried to make things right. And I would just keep her off, keep her out of business. No, I'm not going to trust you anymore. You hurt my feelings, and you did it on purpose. You know what's amazing? Satan tells you that if you forgive, it makes you vulnerable. Hurts because they might do it again. But you know what I found out? Forgiveness sets you free. Forgiveness takes the sting out of it. Forgiveness makes it okay, and they might hurt you again, but you know what? The first thing I need to do is recognize that I still love you. You say, I'm supposed to listen to that person be mean to me. You know what your response to that person is? Hey, sorry you feel that way, but I love you anyway. Well, I couldn't say that to them. You will. They hurt my feelings. They did it on purpose. They're pushing my buttons. And you know why it keeps happening? It's because God's saying, you're still not handling it right. So I'm supposed to let them say it? What are you going to do, control them? Brother and sister, this is hardcore. This is if you really want to be like Jesus. He gave us the example. He forgave from the cross. It was love that constrained him. It was love for that person. Are you willing to bear the persecution that it comes, that it takes to be a Christian and handle it like Jesus Christ? Because if you don't, you're not going in the rapture. But you will, because the bride will come to that point. You know why people push your button sometimes? Is their own juvenile way of dealing with their own stress. Because I feel out of control. I can't handle this, what's going on. This bad thing is happening, this bad thing. And so I'm not in control. So if I can push Paul's button and make him upset, it gives me a sense of control. Little kids do this all the time. Teenagers are great at it. I've worked with them, folks. Those teenagers, when things are out of control, they're mad. They'll go to the staff, the kids we work with, and they'll try to get the staff angry. They'll push up buttons. They might assault them physically. They'll spit in their face. They'll do anything they can to get a reaction out of that staff member. Because then they have a sense of control. And if you have a life, if you like going around pushing people's buttons and trying to get people upset, I know you might do it with some religious connotation or something. Let me tell you what, you're a juvenile. You're a little kid. Spiritually. Well, they're wrong. And when is that your problem? When were you called to pastor them? Our persecutions are a blessing. They're preparing us. You have your priorities straight and you love that person first. And then that brings you to forgiveness. And then you're free. And God says, you got there. You're finally there. All right, let's move on. Now I got something harder for you to do. But you got to get there first. Well, God would just have them stop doing this. I'd be fine. Well, of course he would. That's why it's called death to self. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You're willing to suffer. You're willing to take that. You're willing to be ridiculed. You're willing to be mocked. You're willing to be whatever the persecution is against to you. Because you love. My dad. You know, some of you know he had a kind of a strange take on religion and the message. A lot of it, I believe, was wrong. And my mom died. And when she died, I asked Dad, I said, did she have to die now? Because, see, he had refused to let her go to the hospital, go to the doctor, because he said, you know, their faith is going to be strong enough. She's going to be healed by faith. And it didn't work. And some of my siblings, especially and other people who knew the situation, had really hard feelings towards my dad. And I asked him, did she have to die now? He said, I don't know. Several months later, he was dying. And he said, remember you asked me if mom had to die when she did? He said, no, she didn't. So your religion killed my mom. There is a grace of God involved here. And although some of my siblings, other people, they had an attitude towards my dad, they really had trouble dealing with him, it didn't affect me that way. And we stayed on good terms. And I'm so glad, because pretty soon he had cancer, he died. And I'm so thankful that I never expressed that to Dad. We stayed on good terms, so I didn't have anything to make right. But afterwards, about a year after my dad died, these things started coming up. I realized now it was God dealing with me on these things, because they were all in here. And I'd be just walking down the road or thinking or driving, and things would come up. My dad had done what he said, and I would just get so angry. I'd rage against him. I'd say, Dad, how could you do that? How can you say those things? How can you have six kids? How can you be so self-centered? Why weren't you my daddy? Enraged. Just spewing this stuff. After about a year and a half of that, I was in the back room. I was talking to Brother Jerry, and I just like, I am now just talking to, you know, sometimes I get so angry with my dad. He said something. He said, well, you know, you have to forgive him. Forgive him. I had learned, might as well get it over with. And right there, I didn't say anything out loud. I said, yeah, I know. I didn't say anything out loud, but right there I stood there. I said, I forgive you, God. Brother Jerry don't know about it. He was sitting right there. I never said anything out loud. I said, God, I forgive it. In my mind, I didn't say it out loud. You know what happened? The anger. Couple of times after that, just very few, a couple of times, someone would rise up and, your dad did this, and I'd say, yeah, I know, but I forgave him. In that instant, I was free. I was free. You talk about the grace of God. I have a brother-in-law, some of you know him, his name is Tim Geary. He's a several months older than me. He's married to my younger sister. Wonderful guy. He's been one of my best friends for years. Was the voice of God. He has never got along with his dad. I think I've told you this story before. I'm going to tell it again. From the time he was a teenager, he butt heads with his dad just constantly. They could not get along. And after a while, the last several years, he just stayed away from his dad. I mean, they'd see each other on holidays or whatever, but he'd kind of stay away from his dad. They just wouldn't interact at all. Because every time they're together, they just... A couple months ago, Brother Tim got a phone call. His daddy had some health issues, had been for years he had health. He said, your daddy's doing really bad. He's at the hospital. You better show up as quick as you can. He's dying. So Brother Tim got there. His dad was in a coma. And this was on his heart because he said, Daddy, we never got along and now you're dying. And, you know, the family was in and out of the room and all. They were just kind of watching. The nurse said he's probably never going to wake up. Him and his brother were there. His brother got up and walked out to do something. It was just Brother Tim and his daddy. And he said, I had to do something. He said, I walked over to the bed, stood there with my hands on the rail, started talking to my dad who was in a coma. He said, Dad, we never got along. I'm sorry. I love you. He said his daddy in a coma reached out and took his hand. You talk about the grace of God. And Brother Tim's okay. I'm at peace now. He knew everything was okay. It's just the grace of God. God didn't want Brother Tim to go through the rest of his life with that burden on his heart because I couldn't get along with my daddy. What happens when you get that phone call? Your wife is dying. Your husband was in a wreck. Your child is sick. And you know that in your heart that you have that too much pride. Protecting yourself too much to love your own family. You better hope God's graceful to you. Because he might say, you didn't want to forgive him, I'm not going to forgive you about this. Because the Bible says, if you don't forgive them, the Father's not going to forgive you either. Now how important is your pride? Well, they're wrong, and you're not. Well, they've hurt me, and you haven't hurt anybody. Who are you to hold a grudge? Who are you to remember past things they've done to you? The past hurts. We hold these grudges, and when things come up, we just spew them out. Well, they did this, and she did that, and he did that, and he said that, and she did that, and we have this whole thing. You've got to forgive. Set yourself free. Do not carry that along with you. Yeah, but that person, they keep doing these things. That's your problem, right? If they haven't grown up, don't make it your problem. You grow up. But they hurt. Forgive. The pain goes away. The pain goes away, and you're free, and they come up to you. You know, if I would come up to Brother Paul and say, Brother Paul, sometimes I think you're the biggest hypocrite in the world, and you wear those Amish clothes, and you look like your haircut is ridiculous, and I gets really tired of it all. And you let Brother Paul would say, well, I don't think much of your haircut either, I'm going to come to think of it. And your preaching bores me to death. Well, fine. And you know he wouldn't do that. Why? Because that's not his character. You know what he would do? He'd say, well, Brother Phil, I'm sorry. This is, I just feel led to do this. I just want you to know I love you. I'll pray about it. Can you imagine if you responded that way sometime, brother and sister? Well, you've done this and you did that. I'm sorry. I love you. I love you. You know what that does? It takes the fire right out of it. You know what that person who just accused you? They're standing there feeling really, really stupid. Because you did what Christ did. You turned the other cheek. But it hurts! Yeah, it does. Turn the other cheek. It hurts! It does. But you know what? You walk away knowing you believed your Father, and that takes the sting out of it. And you have manifested Christ to that person. And it's going to have the effect on them. You want them to change their behavior? You manifest Christ, and you watch it change their behavior.
Yes, sir.
And if you're not there yet, when you need a vent, call me. I'm serious. If you just need to blow something off, blow it off to me. Don't call Bro Jay. He's got enough problems. He got the whole church to take care of. He don't need to hear you whine and cry. I'm serious. I've had several of you do it. That's fine. I encourage it. I don't have near the pressure on me that Brother Jerry does. It's better than doing it to that person who hurts your feelings. We are way off skid, off task here, or off this what we're preaching about. I'm almost out of time. Let me say this one more thing, then we'll try to get back on subject. When I was in boot camp, long, long time ago, we were doing a night march. We had our pack, about 80 to 90 pound pack, and your weapon. And it was nighttime, it was a gravel road, it was in Southern California, and we were going up and down these hills. And it was miserable, because we were walking fast. They do this forced marching where you're walking faster than most people run, literally. And it would, and the drill instructor, there were about 100 of us, and it was strung out up these hills, and we had this really high mountain you had to climb up, and just up and down, and we were just humping it, and we were sweating, it was hot, and they were just going to drill instructors, going up and down the line, just hollering at you and just keep you going. And one guy had a really bad sprained ankle. And, I mean, it was swollen out. I saw it. It was swollen out. It was purple. It was blue. It was all discolored. And the corpsmen, the Navy corpsmen, our medics, all they could do is wrap it real tight and shove it back in the boot. So keep going. And I was walking there, and he kept falling back, and there was a drill instructor in his face the entire night, screaming at him. You're not going to stop. You're going to keep going. You calling him all kinds of nasty stuff, you know, you whatever. But you are not going to stop. And he kept going, I can't go. And he was crying, and he just couldn't go any further. And they would not let him stop. And I felt so bad for him. I said, look at his ankle. Look at that. He can't walk anymore. That's incredibly painful. And sometimes there'd be two or three of them around him, just like bumblebees. Just... And he's dragging along, oh, like this. A couple other people, when you get tired, some of the recruits, they kind of drop back a little bit. And as soon as you drop back, those drill instructors would be right on your face, in your case. They'd be chewing out. And it was much better to endure the pain keeping up than have those people all over your case. You know what my human feeling said? Give him a break. Let him sit down. Get someone to carry him. You know what they're saying? In a real situation, if he stops, he dies. He dies. And they were teaching all of us a lesson, much more than that kid with the bad ankle. They are teaching the rest of us a lesson that is, you will not stop. I don't care how painful it is, you will keep going. And when one dude on stuff got tired of, another one came back and started dealing with them. And they kept switching off. But someone was with them babysitting him the entire way. He didn't feel like it was babysitting. Because he was crippled. He was in pain. He wanted to stop. But what it did, it got that direct attention on him. Brother Bram said, if you don't behave right like a shepherd, he takes that sheep and he breaks his leg. They can pay that one-on-one attention with you. And so, brother and sister, if you have a tendency to fall back, if you had a tendency to not keep going because you're in pain, because you've been crippled, because the things you've been through have caused such a problem in your spirit, and you're having trouble getting into church, you're having trouble believing, you're getting in despair, brother and sister, you're going to have a drill instructor in your face. Call the Holy Spirit and say, you are not going to stop. You are going to continue. And it's going to hurt. But you got me in your pain. And you come to church and he's in your face and he's chewing on it and he's chewing on it and say, you are going to keep going. Why? Because you are not going to die. You are not leaving here because God has chosen you to be part of his bride. Your mind will just step up. What that Marine needed, that recruit needed to do, he needed to decide, you know what? I might as well just get up there and keep going, quit my crying about it. I'm gonna finish. He finished. He finished that whole march with the rest of us. He could have done it with a lot less problem if he just said, you know what, this is gonna hurt really bad, but I'm not gonna sag back. I'm not gonna fall behind. I'm gonna be a pillar. I'm going to hold up my part of this. Amen. See if Satan can keep me out of church anymore. See if Satan can keep me sitting here while other people are worshiping and singing, and I'm just going to sit here and stare. See if Satan can keep me to stop believing, to live in doubt and fear and despair. It's a soldier. It's a warrior. Persecution. None of us like it, but it's part of our life. It's the battle. So you know what? Just suck it up and go through it. Amen. God doesn't put anything more on you than you can handle. And he doesn't put anything on you that you don't need. Why am I still suffering through this? Why do I still have this problem? Because obviously I still haven't learned what God's trying to teach me. Amen. And it's not a knowledge up here. It's a working out of that character living through you. Because you know what? When someone hurts my feelings, I know up here how to react. But it doesn't always come down to my actions. It doesn't always play itself out. Because I still have a weakness. There's still certain things. I might be in a bad mood or something. And I just don't want to do it anymore. Especially when I'm weak. I'm having a hard time. I don't want to fight that battle today. I don't want to die to myself today. I'm having a hard day. Someone feel sorry for me. Protecting Phil. And all God's saying is, I'm trying to take you in a rapture. Don't you want to go? Well, of course we want to go. You say, Brother Phil, I've been through an awful lot. Every one of you can stand and say, I've been through an awful lot. And some, it's been worse than others. Because you know that night when we were walking up that road? All them recruits had to walk. And all of them were tired. And some were dropping back. But only one of them had that really bad ankle. You might be the one with the really bad ankle. You might be the one who's been crippled worse than the rest. You might be the one who's been through the most worst trials there are of all of us in here. And for you, it's going to be harder. It's going to be harder for you. It's what you need. That's all I can say. You're going to question God? God, you did this wrong. I shouldn't have to go through this. For whatever reason. This is your lot in life. Suck it up. Believe what God's telling you instead of what Satan's telling you. Satan tells you, well, it's too hard. Satan tells you, you have a right to have this attitude. You know, it's just been, this is just so wrong and this and that. Just look at the word says, yeah, but God brought me this far. He's going to take me the rest of the way. Now, do I want to go through victorious? I want to have someone chew on me the whole time just to get me through. Because here's the reality. If you're one of God's, He's going to get you through. And if you don't respond to the Holy Spirit chewing on you, He's going to step back and He's going to let the hounds of hell chew on you. Then you've got some serious problems.
Get your mind right.
And if you're not one of God's, He'll chew on you for a while. If you don't get it right, then you'll leave. God takes eternal life seriously, okay? He takes it very seriously. I think a lot more serious than we do sometimes because we're so lax about it. What is God trying to teach you? And usually what He's trying to teach you is a question of love. Who do you love more? Are you following human love or are you following God's love? And that's what it comes down to. Because you can go all kinds of church and all kinds of places and you hear people say, well, I chose this church because I just felt loved. I felt so many people that love me. And brother says, God's love isn't even close to it. And other people go to church, well, you know, different reasons. But let me tell you something, brother and sister, when you come to the right place where God puts you, it's not going to be the human love you're feeling that makes you welcome there. And all that's good. We all love that. But it's God's love. And that manifests itself only when you die to yourself. Because a lot of times God's love makes you feel bad. In your spirit realm, you don't feel good about it. Because when someone comes up and hurts my feelings and I just ignore it and be nice to that person, my old flesh inside is just like, ugh. Feel that, Brother Cody? He's back there smiling. So you decide. Am I sick of this old nasty nature, this old flesh? Am I sick of serving this? And then you have to prove about 100,000 times. As you grow. Look at the little kids. Isn't it amazing to watch them grow? They go from this totally helpless, not lifeless, but totally helpless little nothing but just wah! And the next thing you know, they're running around. And they're chattering. And then they learn when to talk and when not to. Some of us need to learn that. Little Michael sometimes sits back there, he chatters a little bit. He's 2 years old. Now, if Brother Wayne was over there chattering like that, you'd say, Brother Wayne, you need some medication. Why? Because we don't expect that out of a grown adult. So now look at yourself spiritually. Are you just chattering away? That's fine. Just recognize that I got some growing up to do. Until my chattering is led by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to quit. I did not get to my sermon today. I'm going to read one more quote here. Brother, sister, I'm going to have to quit.
This persecution we're seeing, brother and sister, recognize what it is. Recognize the pressure on you. Recognize that what's going on in your mind is where Satan is, with satanic power. He is just drilling you, just pressuring you, stressing us out constantly to weaken us. Because when you're not strong is when we make mistakes. It's real easy in the presence of the Holy Spirit to have the right thoughts. It's real easy to say nice things. After we're going to go downstairs and the Holy Spirit, the presence is still going to be there. And it's going to be pretty easy to be nice to each other. Hopefully. But when you're not in that, when you're weakened, because when you're tore down over the things you go through, the stresses of normal life and all this is going on, brother, sister, that's when it's hard. Recognize that's the persecution that we're facing. And brother, sister, we need to be strong. We need to become stronger in Christ, not weaker, because when the physical persecution comes, it's not the tribulation. I didn't get to that. It's very clear what Brother Bram says. Maybe some other time. When that comes, if you don't have a solid foundation of revelation of Christ in your life, you are not going to stand. Your own human love for each other and your own religion is not going to do it. So let me read this and I can quit. Brother Brown says this: if I could see every Pentecostal church, the Foursquare, Open Bible Standard, Pentecostal Assemblies of God, United Pentecostal Church, and all the rest of them put their arms around one another and forget their differences, just fellowship one with another, I say, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. So he was just talking to the Pentecostal here. He said, if we could get it all together and gather together in one, he said, I finished my course. It's done. Fellowship one with another. So let's go ahead and take it up to our day. If we could just get all the message believers just together and fellowship together in one. And the problem is, they try to do that with their own human ability. And it's called a politically correct ecumenical spirit. It's the Antichrist. Because they're trying to gather us all under William Branham instead of all in Christ. It's idolatry. They're worshiping the idol of their prophet. But if we can get them all in Christ, that's what we need. He said, and as long as Satan's got you shooting at one another, he just sits back and takes a vacation. Have you been giving Satan a vacation? Well, Brother Phil, you don't know what it's like living with my wife. Boy, I sure don't. But let me tell you what. You promised to love her. Brother Paul's laughing. You don't know what it's like. No, I'm just playing. They're your kids. You had them. Can you love them? Are you giving Satan a vacation? He don't have to fool at all, see? Brother Brown says this: I pray that I'll live to see the day when everyone's in fellowship. He didn't. Pentecost never came together. And now the ones who claim his message are just as split apart even more than the Pentecost were. But then listen to what he says. And if you don't do it within yourselves, if you don't learn to fellowship within yourselves, if you don't get over your own self within yourselves, he said, some kind of a persecution will hit this nation one of these days. You'll long for one another then, brothers of like precious faith. You can't get along with someone here in this church? There'll come a time when you'll long for them. Persecution going to hit this nation. And it's going to drive us together. He called it the squeeze sometime. You long for one another then, brothers of like precious faith. So listen to what he says. So why go through the punishment when we can have a little piece of heaven on earth right now? Stop the punishment. We prolong our suffering. We can overcome this. We can have peace. We can stop this trial. We can stop this from happening. And one day you will. But why prolong it? Why go through years and years of misery of dealing with this and dealing with this when you can just have it now? Peace, a little piece of heaven on earth. I plan on going down to the basement a little bit and having a little bit of heaven on earth. And not just because of the food. I'm talking because of my peace of mind. Because as far as I know, I'm at peace with all of you. If I'm not, you need to tell me about it, because I don't think... Maybe after what I preached today, not so much, but... I hope you're all at peace with each other. If you're not, you can be. You can have peace of mind. You don't have to keep dragging these things with you. It's called forgiveness. But what if they... Not if what if they do, they will. Because even after you forgive, they will continue to do these things. Because it's proven to you that you have let it go. Because if you forgive someone one time and they come back and I forgive you, and then they do it again and you get all tore up again. See, it's building character. It's a training process. You don't go, you know, I've trained for running. I don't go to run one time to train for a race. I got a race in June. I'm going to start training the 1st of March. Every week, about 4 or 5 times a week, I'm going to be out running. Because you can't train one time. You can't forgive one time and have it done, because your body doesn't work that way. You need to continue to do it. It's a constant thing. It's a growing up. And God provides you with the opportunity to grow. You know how He does it? He has someone hurt your feelings. Because He loves you. You say, well, it don't feel like love. And that's what Brother Brandt said. You differentiate between your feelings and faith. Because the Bible says He punishes those. He chastens those that He loves. My, my, my. Isn't He good? He comes and puts everything in perspective and say, okay, I'm ready to go now. Amen. Let's stand. Brother Nick, come on. I am so glad to know Jesus Christ. I am so glad to be a part of this assembly. I am so glad that you all love me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. And I just can't wait. One day we're all going to just, however we go, we're going to step across that line. And I think I said it Thursday, I say it a lot. Bring out your worst trial. Bring out the hardest thing you've gone through and hold it up there and look at it and compare that to eternal life. Because that 1 second after you get your body changed, however it comes, that won't matter at all. You will not regret what you went through to get there. And you know what else you won't regret? Is all the people who saw you go through that and were encouraged because they saw Christ in you while you were going through it. Because some people are going to owe their life to you. Well, I didn't ever lead anyone to Christ. I never led anyone to a new birth. Yeah, but you know what you did? You encouraged them. You kept them going. When the way was hard and they were ready to quit and they felt despair and they saw you and they remembered you, or you said something and you were the one who kept them, gave them strength to go that one more day. Nothing is in vain. Amen. Lord Jesus, I just ask you to take this word and let it have the effect that you intended it for. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious.